church. And one final thing before I get started. My friend John over here, I just have to do this. If you don't know, he's a student at MTSU. His name is Jonathan Birchfield. He helps out with the youth ministry. He's one of the college kids that helps out as a leader. And I'd spoke to him. He'd come to church in some t-shirts. I said, John, I need you to dress up a little bit better. I need a collared shirt. I mean, work with me, man, okay? Get the hat off. Now, we're not wearing hats, okay? We're working on that one, too. And I was like, now work with me. He said, oh, I'll come dressed up. So I knew that he had a white suit for prom. He had bought it. He called me and he said, I'm coming to church tomorrow dressed up. I said, what suit are you wearing? He said, the white one. I said, oh, no. Come 9:30, no one's here. Come 10:30, no one's here. Come 12, John, I slept in. So tonight he's here wearing the white suit, and I just wanted to let him know that. I said, you can come in and be my armor bearer. I'm just kidding. We're not really doing that, but he's my good friend. That's the final thing. Tonight I'm going to be speaking about the herd church. The herd church, a church that has heard in this world, a church that looks like Acts chapter 2. Now, I shuddered when I was sitting there in my house and I was like, Lord, do you really want me to talk about Acts chapter 2? And it's not that I'm at all ashamed of it. It's just something that is so simple at first glance, but so in-depth. And part of this scripture is the reason why we're sitting in a Church of God church at this very moment. It is one of the foundations upon which this church was laid. Because some people read these words and simply believed it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. I know that seems like a lot, but I just want us to get a hold of this. Now, there's a lot of names of countries in there, so please bear with me if I mispronunciate some of them. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability, or the utterance in other translations. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're drunk. That's all. I'm going to pray one more time and we're going to get started tonight. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to speak and minister your word. God, in this moment, I step aside, Lord, that I might not say anything of my own, but speak what you would have me to say. Nothing more and nothing less. Simply your words, God. Let us all walk out of here tonight with a better understanding of the scripture and what the herd church means, a people that speak for God, that this world can hear the beautiful message about Christ. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. Now, I know I wasn't blessed to grow up in the Church of God. I grew up in a church, anyone know Laurel Bank Baptist Church? It's right next to William Blount High School. And so, at 16 years old, I had drifted away from church. I came into a Church of God church, and someone said, well, they speak in tongues. I was like, well, don't we all speak with tongues? And I found out about this scripture. It was one that I had never heard before. You believe in all these years, I'd never heard it preached about. I had never heard these words. And these words impacted my heart on so many levels. And I found out the truth of them. And I found out the amazing beauty. And I know for many of you, you might have heard this 100 times. But it is my hope and prayer that each one of us could walk away here with something new from it. It's an amazing thing to read God's word 100 times and get something new every time. It's so infinitely complex and so amazingly easy to get at points in times. It's deep, but it's shallow. It's something for every single believer. That amazes me. That God's revelation thousands of years later speaks into the hearts of men and women and changes their lives. I hope that as we go through this, no matter how many times we've heard this, we might be open to something. You see, this message is keying on one simple thing here. I find it amazing. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They heard the people. And I know that one simple idea, that one simple truth might be a little bit, you might think, well, John, how are you going to talk about that? I'm going to go through this entire scripture, but how long has this nation sat quietly? How many times have we lived in a country? How many years have we dealt with quiet Christianity? I hear these people all the time, especially in my generation, they say, well, evangelism is not to be spoken about. You are only to evangelize relationally. Now, I've got, I guess, what someone would say, Peter syndrome. I just speak, then think at points in times. I was like, that's stupid. I was in a car coming back from winter, and I just talked with someone earlier about someone had said that. But they think this. It's what we're told. Well, it's not comfortable to speak about your faith in public. Faith is not to be heard. It is for the private. It is not for the public arena, because who wants to offend anybody? But Jesus was despised and rejected. Where do we miss that? But faith is to be quiet. We're not supposed to speak about it. You should be such a Christian that people should see you and magically they would know Jesus because your faith. In that point in time, that's going to happen, but that's a lie straight from the mouth of Satan. It's time that we start speaking out about our faith. I'm sick of living in a generation where faith is locked up in a closet and people's mouths are zipped, afraid to speak out about Christ. It's time the church is heard. That's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I talked a little while ago to the kids about it's time that we unmute. You know, you could have the most beautiful symphony playing right now over these systems, but you would never hear it unless someone hit the unmute button. Unless someone turned the volume up, you could have the most beautiful symphony that the world would ever hear, but it would not matter unless they heard it. It's time the church gets heard. Now, I know for some of you, some people in here, I'm so thankful that we have a church made up of many generations. I'm thankful for the opportunities in fellowship dinners where I can sit down and I've asked some of these women back here, I said, what is the craziest thing that you've seen in this church? God move. And I heard about a man walking in here with a disease and start walking in the back of the church. This man's still here. I can't say his men with MS got healed. Tread. You hear these stories. And you hear about all these days, and I grew up, see, I'm yearning these things. I hear about the days in which Cecil was telling me men would start walking out through the woods before church and start praying and seeking the face of God and start speaking out for the Lord. I'm sick and tired of living in a world where I hear these stories of men standing up and praying but don't see it. It's time the church gets heard in this nation. And I'm about, that's what I speak to these kids. Some people might say, well, John, do you play video games? I come in here and I ripped them out. I walked into a youth room with video games on the walls and toys, and I took them and put them in that room over there because I want our kids to hear the word. I don't want them to see a television screen. It's time that we get something. And forgive me if I get a little bit emotional. I get fired up about this. In a generation that says youth ministry is comprised of pizza and video games, I say it should be filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And that's all we need. We need nothing more and we need nothing less. It's time that the church gets heard. I believe God wants to send a wind and a sound to this generation. You see, the Holy Spirit blew into that place like a mighty rushing wind and a sound. Could you imagine that they're in one room and people all across us in streets heard that noise? They heard the Spirit of God move. They heard people speak in their own languages. They heard the church. They heard it. But we don't. I believe God wants to blow a wind into this generation. I think we're getting the first stirrings in the air. In a country, you know, they would say the statistics right now is 1 in every 4 of my generation will be Christian by the time they're 20. Or into maturity. 4 out of every 100. Do you know that in the United States, 10.93 churches close every single day and only 2.73 open back up? Now that would sound scary, wouldn't it? I'm sick of listening to those bad statistics because I believe revival's coming. Simply put, I believe God wants to send him. I don't believe. I know he does. It is God's will that his people be alive. It is God's will that his people would be thriving. It is God's will that the church would be spirit-led and spirit-filled. That we would no longer talk of the days of the men seeking God's face and praying, but we would be the ones walking through the woods and walking through the towns, praying and seeking the face of God. There is a day, and the day is now, that the church is going to be heard. And I will speak it. I've told people, I said, it does not matter if it becomes politically incorrect. It does not matter if it becomes illegal. I will be filled with bullet holes and I will lay down my life for Christ before they take my Jesus from me. There is a day and the day is now. I don't think the tide's over. I think it's just beginning. Jesus has a mandate for this generation and it's awakening and it's a revival. He's going to send a wind and he's going to send a sound. Now the second scripture I want to point out to you is Joel chapter 2. It's right after this that Peter starts preaching. He says, these men aren't drunk as you suppose. And he goes on to say, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. I didn't mark it, so it might take me just a minute to turn to it. I usually sneak post-it notes in here so people think, like, bah, just you know, open up the Bible. But if you ever see post-it notes when I preach, you know what's up now. You can get me for it. Say, John, shouldn't you magically know where? I know where it's at. It's just... Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I don't see any possibilities, I see wills. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on servants, men and women alike. Peter says this later on. In Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3 actually. He looked out among what was going on. And he said, this is as was prophesied. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. In the last days. In our day. In the day when people say things look bad, Jesus is pouring out his spirit. It did not stop at the point. It did not say, I poured out my spirit in this moment. I pour out my spirit. It's an activation. It's happening right now. And I've been seeing too many past. I'm not seeing wills. Do you see? Will prophesy, will see visions, will dream dreams. I believe we're going to see a generation who's marked by prophecy, who's marked by science, all these things. Right now, it's time that the church gets heard. You see, God's heart, I've spoke about this, it's for revival, it's for awakening. And I believe right now we're seeing in these kids, in this entire nation, the whispers of revival. The first breaths of wind. People tell me, John, it's over. The United States is the third largest mission field. Well, sounds to me like an amazing opportunity for awakening. God can't send an awakening unless his people aren't asleep. There's been two great awakenings. I think it's about time we go for a third one. I think it's about time the church gets heard. I don't see questions there. The church was heard and the people came. If the church was heard today, people would be here. We wouldn't have to worry about empty churches. It is my heart's desire that every single drug house in this county gets shut down because the power of God is moving. I heard stories in Cleveland, Tennessee in the 1970s of classes getting shut down because the Spirit of God was so strong that people couldn't function anymore because all they wanted was Jesus. People were getting saved in the hallways. And what some of you don't know, kids in William Blount High School right now, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, are standing up in their lunchroom having Bible studies and having public prayer in a public school because we have the freedom of speech. If they can take it away, we can stand up for it. These kids, this one right here, Kristen, I hear stories. The principal came out and prayed with him the other day. They tell us we can. I say, oh yeah, we can. I was the kind of kid my mom would say, John, don't do that. Don't touch that stove. Every time. And I sometimes wonder, why did you put that little bit of rebelliousness in each of us? I think there's a little bit of hint in all of us. I might have got a little bit more. Some of you guys are like, yeah, he's crazy. But it just spiked. Oh, it just gets me going. They say, John, that's not right. Oh, you want to bet? I'm going to do it. These kids got the mindset of, it doesn't matter if kids are same-sex couples are making out in the hallways of my high school. I'm going to walk through and speak the word. That's what these kids are facing. I was there 3 years ago and saw it. You'd walk in the hallway and see females kissing on the mouth. I say no, it's time the church gets heard. I'm sick and tired of that crap getting heard. I'm sick and tired of that business being proclaimed across our televisions. It's time the church gets heard, not sin. Not only does God want to send a wind and a sound to this generation, you know what this word one accord is? On this today, and I found it amazing. This word one accord at the beginning, Acts 2, it is two words combined into one. It is the first word to rush along, and the second word in unison. In this world literally means a number of notes. It's a musical term that was only used 12 times in the entire Bible, 10 of which being in the book of Acts. A number of notes sounded, which while different, harmonized in pitch and tone. God can't send revival unless we're in one accord. God can't send an awakening here to this church unless we're in one accord. And it has blessed my heart to see the women come behind youth ministry. It has blessed my heart to see the men perform these ministries to help out widows. We're getting to the one accord part. It doesn't matter what people say about Icoa Maryville Church of God. The Spirit of God is here. We're getting in one accord and something's happening. Something's happening. People might have told me, John, you don't want to go there. I said, oh, sorry, I don't listen to your opinion. God sent me. It's time we get in one accord, rushing along and in unison in one accord. A windblown church is heard. You see, that's kind of what I'm getting to. I find it amazing that on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were in one accord. They were of one mind. They were of rushing together in unison, different notes, but struck together. They make a harmony. The youth ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the men's ministry, the seniors ministry, Sunday mornings, moving together, different notes, all in unison, in one accord. We've been seeing things in our services that when I first come here weren't happening. We've been seeing Holy Spirit interruptions. I pray that we get to the place as a church that when the Spirit of God speaks, we throw out the agenda, that when the Holy Ghost shows up and signs and wonders start happening, we no longer care about what might say on our sheets. We start listening to the Father above. That's what I want for these kids. That when the Holy Ghost blows in, everything stops and we follow the wind of God wherever it leads. They blew out of that room and into the streets. A windblown church was heard that day. A windblown church saw 3,000 in one instance. Boom. 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 For if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and come heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Do you know God's in the business of healing lands? He's not just in the business. He's in the business of healing hearts, but he's also in the business of healing lands. And I think we've got a land healing coming. And I know I'm anticipating it. I'm not going to be surprised when revival comes. It's something that I've read about and studied in my school and heard about all this. So you know what the common denominator to every revival is? Prayer. Prayer. Anyone here heard of Brownsville Revival? 1990s? Do you know they were praying for 6 months before and they said that no one was surprised when revival came? I pray that we have an anticipation of a wind to blow, of a sound to come. A windblown church is heard. You see, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they could not help but make noise. Filled. Be ye filled. I'm seeking a generation filled. I'm seeking a generation. I was so upset when I was 16 and I was introduced to the Holy Spirit being filled up with His power and His anointing and His ability to go out and speak the Word. And I was so upset. Why did not any tell me about this? It was so hard to speak the Word before. But I got a God inside me who fills me up by His power and by His Spirit to proclaim the gospel. I'm believing for a filled generation, and it is impossible. I do not see how a Spirit-filled church cannot be heard. Now, I know that's a little bit confrontational. That's a little bit edgy. I don't see how we can be filled with the Spirit of the Most High God and not be speaking, not be going, not be doing. And we're getting there. We're moving as a church because the Spirit of God is here. He's filled us up and He's moving in this body. I don't see. It was impossible. It did not say that someone went out and said, hey, y'all, they're having a prayer meeting. No. They heard them. What do you have to do to be heard? Speak. Make a sound. You know what the sign of life is? Noise. Noise. Whether it be hearing, breathing. Someone speak. You know, someone's asleep. You're like, oh my gosh, they're not moving. I wonder. You get up to them, listen, hear, and breathe. Alive things make noise. My question is, are we making noise? Are we being heard? Are we making a sound that the people can hear? A spirit-filled church is a heard church. A spirit-blown church is a moving church. And a moving church does things. And that's where we're at right now. You see, I tell people this. I go up to them and I look at them and I say, we're in a beginning. Every time. They'll say, well, what's going on? We're in a beginning. I'm excited. I'm like the kid at Christmas. I'm thinking back till I'm 10 years old and I get out of my bed on Christmas morning. I can't wait to rip open the presents, man. I think we're in a beginning. I think this church is in a beginning. I think this church has had tastes of it. And you see, I've not even been here an entire year, and I know God is doing something. I hear these stories of all the things that Alcoa Maryville that has blown through this place, and I think that has nothing to do. You see, I've heard prophecies about this church. I heard prophecies about what would happen here. And just because people decide to leave and go other places does not change God's word and His prophecies. I believe there's still a coming revival out of this place. That this is a place where God is moving. That this is a place that will be heard. If other churches choose to hide hell and hide their faith and hide evangelism in the churches, we're not going to do it. We're going to speak and we're going to stand. It's time this church gets heard. You know, it amazes me. Though saying that, it sounds good. Sounds great. But it is hard sometimes. You see, we have the fact that the Spirit, the church that is Spirit-led, if it's we're following according to His Word. We have that fact. We have the fact that God's wanting you to send an awakening because in the last days I will pour out my Spirit, says the Lord. I'm anxious that this church is marked by dreams, visions, signs, wonders, prophecies. I tell these kids all the time, guys, I want it to be normal that when kids get cancer in Blount County, they call up Alive Youth Ministry and say, can we bring our kid to your church? Because I know God does stuff there. I pray for the coming day when we have people coming into this church with diseases and walk out healed. I pray for the coming day when cars drive by this place and feel the Spirit of God in here and cannot help but be drawn. I'm so excited I can't hardly talk. These things should be normal. Jesus says, this is what you should do. These signs will follow. Are they? Are they? Are we heard? Are they? These signs will. So that when I pray for someone with cancer, it is within my DNA to expect them to be healed because Jesus says, greater signs will you do. That when people come into this place and they have diseases and hurts locked up in their hearts, that we should expect them to be healed. I don't think that's wrong because I just think it's His word. It's time we get heard. It's time we recognize that God's doing something in this day. In this day. You see, I get caught up sometimes and I think back to moments in my life where it seemed like everything was there. I think back to moments where I've heard God's voice and it just blew my mind away how crisp and how clear He was speaking to me. And it's easy to get back and say, I want to go there. I want to go there. God, I seek Your voice. Lord, I seek what You've done. But that's wrong. I don't need to be seeking what He's done. I need to be seeking what He's doing. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's today. That's this moment. That is this instant. It didn't stop in Acts 2. It did not stop when they blew out of the upper room. The signs didn't stop going. The Spirit of God didn't stop filling. And the people should never have stopped speaking. Today is the day in which it carries forth and keeps on moving. It's time we start speaking. It's time this church get heard. But I'm going to tell you something. You will face opposition. You will. I tell these kids all the time, do not be deceived. Your enemy, Satan, roams around like a roaring lion. You ever want any notice, though, that word's like right there? He's like a lion, but I've got one lion in my life, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I like him. I heard a preacher one time say that Satan is nothing more than a toothless, clawless lion who simply uses his roar to deceive those. We got a big Satan concept and a little God concept. I don't know about you, but my Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I'm excited. You know what? God wants to send a wind and a sound to this church, to this day, in this time, in this instance. And I believe. I can just feel it. You know, you go outside, come. There's just that atmosphere. We're right there. We're right there. I believe God is blowing a wind today in each and every single one of us. Not just in these kids. In you. In you. In you. In you. In you. Something fresh. Something new. Something good. A rain. Something beautiful. We're going to face opposition. But I try to take opposition as compliments, because do you know that if you're facing opposition, you're probably doing something right? Why would Satan waste time on someone who's not a threat? And I speak edgy. I do. But that's just who I am. So I hope you still love me. But if you don't, we'll still, you know, be cool. The Spirit of God, though, I noticed one final thing about this scripture. We noticed the fact that the Spirit of God blew into a place that was in one accord, that was moving together in unison, that was all matched up, and that's where we're getting at. I mention this again. Ladies, you broke my heart when you said you were going to support the youth. You showed me that this church was behind these kids. And it was another sign to say, God, there's another domino. God, there's another tick. We're getting there. We're one accord. How can we keep on going without moving with the Holy Spirit, without having Him in the middle of our services? I want to be, I dream of these days. And it's coming. I'm sick and tired of talking about the past. It's time that the Holy Ghost blows into this nation, blows into this church, blows into this county, and everything's interrupted because I want to follow His path, not mine. There's time that we're heard. It's time that we start speaking. It's time when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, I could not help but jump. I could not help but rejoice. I could not help but feel the Spirit of God. When I went back to my school, my friend said, you're stupid. You're dumb. You're going to quit in a month. I said, I don't care about your opinion because I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the Spirit of God in me. It didn't matter anymore. Something within me just made me go speak. Hey, I lost a lot of friends, but boy, I won some to the Lord. By His Spirit and by His grace. And I will gladly discount the friendship of a person for the victory of a soul brought into the kingdom of God. We need to start rejoicing over victory and stop focusing on defeat. It's time that we get heard. But you know, I find an amazing thing about the scripture. When they spoke by the Spirit of God, everyone heard in their own languages. In their own languages. So not only do you have the fact that the Spirit of God wants to fill you, you get in accord with His Word, you get in accord with His will, you get in accord with the life He set out for you, and I believe that by the Spirit of God, He's going to fill you up if you seek Him. We've got that fact. We've got the fact that when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to be heard. How can a Spirit-filled church be a quiet church? I mean, it's not that we have loud, boisterous music and bang on drums. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Because you can produce false sound. I'm talking about a Spirit-led sound. I'm talking about that when you hear people in here weeping and crying out to God underneath His power and His anointing, that's the sound I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us get louder speakers and bull, louder music. No, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. That's the sound. We've got the fact that, yes, we make a sound when the Spirit of God blows into our lives. But there's a final thing. You're going to face opposition, church. I'm going to face all. Oh, I'm tell you what, I had a day today. It was hard to get up here and talk to you. Right before, at 4 o'clock, Satan, he knows what he's doing. He's cunning, but the Lord's victorious, amen? Hallelujah. 4 o'clock, issue comes up. By 5, I said, you're not going to steal my joy. I'm going to speak the word. Lives are going to be changed. But you know what? He fills us up. He makes us be heard. He gives us direction and ability to follow His Spirit. But He also gives us the ability to speak to people in their own languages. Now, I want to key in on this, and this is the final thought, and I'm going to be done, I promise. I don't know what your specific window of evangelism is. God has a specific place designed for you to where you're going to be able to speak the language to someone else. God has a specific niche that He has placed for you by the Spirit of God. As you're filled with His presence, as you begin to speak out and make noise because you cannot help it to proclaim His Word, God's going to give you a specific people group to talk to. Specific. No matter what age you are, no matter what job you have, no matter what you do now. Now, get what I'm saying here. There's a specific language for you. Now, I know that might be a little bit of a stretch, but it struck me today that the people heard in their own languages. It's time that we start seeking windows for opportunities, not so I can simply sit in your car and by my presence you're going to become a Christian magically. I mean, I don't care if people get mad at me for that. They can get over it. Speaking the word, not by osmosis we win souls to the kingdom of God. That's what they try to fill these kids with. No. We speak. We don't hide. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is to be heard, not hidden. But God's going to give you a specific door and a specific window, a specific place to speak, that you can speak the language. Now, I don't know what that is. Maybe it's at your work. And God has put you in a non-Christian workplace. He's put you in a place to where you can speak to people in a language they can understand, in an environment in which they can receive the word. Now, I would tell you what it was back, believe it or not. Back in my day, I like to fish and I like to hunt. I still do. It's something fun I enjoy. Now, some of our youth kids don't like it because they say killing animals is bad, but I eat what I kill. My papa would beat me if I didn't do that. Son, you kill that crow. Not going to go any more in depth. But a lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. But my specific window is in that crowd. I have the ability to walk into situations by the Spirit of God led. We were camping last weekend with some non-Christian people. They'd come up there, and a lot of Christians, non-Christian people come up there. And I looked at one of the guys and said, they're isolated, there's opportunity, let's have intent and let's speak the word to them. That was a language they could understand. We talked about rock climbing. We talked about fishing. Ain't that fishing, man? You know what? Fishing's good, but I used to love fishing. That's all I ever did in my life. But man, I met a guy named Jesus who was better than any 10-pound bass. Specific languages. Maybe you crochet. Maybe you knit. Maybe you're a quilter. Maybe you like working on muscle cars. Maybe you like singing. Maybe you like your work. Maybe you like golfing. Maybe you like walking in the park. Maybe you like cooking food. But you have a specific language to where you can win people. God has given you gifts and abilities, not so you can sit on them, but so you can utilize them for the kingdom. God's given you a gift and a language to speak. Will you use it? I wanted to put that in there. I know that's a little bit off topic. But that just spoke to me. They heard in their own languages. God has given each one of us a specific area in which to be heard. Guys, could you go on up there? Minister to us. Today, I know I hit a lot of things. But the most important foundation stone of all this right here is a Spirit-filled church. Is a church filled with the Spirit of God. I believe this is one. I believe right now we're getting in one accord. That the winds are beginning to shift. God's sending us new people week after week after week after week after week. We've grown in double-digit numbers in the church, and that's not just by happenstance or us getting some new thing. It's because Spirit of God is here. And I believe that we're having the beginning signs of what's going to come. But it's only going to come at the point in time in which we say, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, at the point in time in which we say, no longer will people on television say that we should be quiet. It comes at the point in time in which we say that no longer will we hide our Jesus in the closet. Will we keep His Word silent? It comes at the point in time in which we say, we will be heard. That call, that what those, we will be heard. Statement loud. I said it loud intentionally. Put emphasis on it. To no matter what you say, you see, there's a verse in Acts chapter 5, 29. It says this. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Facing trial. I must obey God rather than any human authority. So in a culture, in a Christian church culture that says we hide our faith and simply win people. my friendships, I say no. I obey God's authority, His word, His spirit speaking to me, His voice calling out, making me be heard over your opinion, Mr. Person with the book. It's time that we're heard. It's time that people can no longer help but come to this church and their lives not be changed because they're heard, because the word of God was heard. And you know what it said right there? It said this about what they were speaking. How can this be? All the people from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own languages and skipping on down. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. You know what a heard church does? Speak about the wonderful things God has done. People can refute the truth of this Bible. They say, oh, science. But when you come to them, you say, can I tell you who I once was? Can I tell you that I was once a kid in high school who put a sword to his chest and wanted to kill himself? Who hated his life, had no hope. But a man named Jesus walked up to me and said, your sins are forgiven, your past is gone. Can I tell you about what Jesus has done? That's a hurt church. A hurt church is walking into your word and people talking about cussing off these things. And you say, well, what do you say about this man that doesn't reflect my God? Can I tell you about something bad that Jesus just came out? We're hurt. It's time that we speak. It's time that the church steps back into the place where we're blown by the Spirit.